Hi, I'm Meredith.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to I'm Not Scared, You're Scared,
a horror movie podcast.
If you're a fan of the show, please like and follow us on iTunes and Spotify and review us. It'll help spread the word.
Also, you can follow us on Instagram at I'm Not Scared, You're Scared, or email us at I'm Not Scared, You're Scared at gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us tonight. We're here to talk about Incantation, released in 2022. And it was a, I believe, Taiwanese horror, found footage horror film. But I'm doing the synopsis tonight.
She is doing the synopsis, and we can't possibly listen to her expertly written synopsis without first knowing what is new with Meredith.
Katie, I'm getting married.
What?
I know.
Why wasn't I invited?
Well, you're invited, so you better show up.
Oh, is it okay if I have a special dress that matches but doesn't match a bunch of other girls' special dresses?
You were specifically asked to do that.
This is all starting to sound familiar.
Yep. I guess you just had to, you know, a few little cups of wine.
And some geriatric mental moments.
So I've just been planning. I went with one of my bridesmaids to the dollar store to get frames because she and now her fiance,
They
are going
recently
to
got engaged.
Recently engaged, are making me a seating chart, but it's like really cool, put together frames. Mm-hmm. So they're doing that. And then she helped me also with all the table numbers.
Sounds like she's helping you a shit ton more than I am.
Yeah. So what, you know, you better get your shit together.
Yeah, no, all I do is come and break your wine dispenser. I know.
She's like, this isn't working. I'm like, you ripped it apart. What's happening?
I ripped it apart after it wasn't working, for the record.
Anyway. So it's kind of cool. I saw it, I don't even know, probably Pinterest or something. And the table numbers are from pages from books that we really like, Victor and I. Mm-hmm. And on top overlay is a typed table number. So nice. We have, you know, The Shining or The Raven or Lenore or stuff that Victor likes. Like, I think Name of Wind something. I don't know. I've never read it. Something.
The Hobbit.
Something for nerds. Lord of the Rings, obviously. and one that I'm particularly proud of for being like, oh, we got to do this, is from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And it's from The Bride.
Of course. That
page.
With her in the trunk, skeleton in the trunk.
So it's like, I think I want to say table six or something. And it has The Bride.
That's amazing.
And she's like all a corpse in their spider webs. Yeah. And it's in that crazy charcoal drawing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, ooh, if Victor's family don't, if they're not really understanding what a ooky spooky person I am, they're going to find out.
Yep, put them all at that table.
Yeah, yes.
They'll just be crossing themselves all night.
They're like, oh, gosh.
He's marrying a demon.
And we have Hitchhiker's Guide, and that table number is 42, obviously.
I haven't read it, so I don't know the relevance. God.
Katie.
Yeah. Okay. I never told you I went to a shitty high school. They didn't have us read anything. No. I had to go back and read all
You've
of that
been
crap
high
as an adult
for a long time.
I know. No, and I've read a bunch of, I've read Of Mice and Men. I read Great Gatsby. I read Catch 22. Like, there was a bunch of books that I remembered my friends at other high schools reading in high school that I was never assigned. And so I went back as an adult and read them.
Yeah. I read those, but I also barely passed high school.
Yeah.
So what is, I don't know.
I passed with flying colors because they didn't ask us to do anything.
In high school, did I get more of an education than you? Who
can
say?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Anyway, that's really fun. I'm excited. So
yeah, that's a cool idea. Nice, so. That reminds me a little bit of, we have a couple pieces of art that I'd gotten for my daughter, but I'm kind of jealous and I'm hoping that one day she doesn't want them anymore and I can take them. Uh-huh. Because Alice in Wonderland, the original Lewis Carroll book with the original illustrations, has always been one of my favorite books. And Salvador Dali did a series of paintings inspired by elements of the story of Alice in Wonderland. Actually mm-hmm. saw quite a few of them in the Espace de Dali in Paris when I was there a few years ago. But
reading that, straight tripping on acid.
Oh, yeah. For real.
Painting his mustache off.
But somebody on, you know, Etsy or whatever, like, combined. So, like, you described where the background is like a printed page from a book. So it's got like the typography from a book. And then they put over it an original illustration from Alice in Wonderland. And then they superimposed over that a portion of one of Dali's Alice in Wonderland paintings. And so it's all kind of like, you know, merged together into one piece. Yeah. And
that sounds really cool.
She has two of them that I got for her because she really liked Alice in Wonderland when she was younger. And I'm just waiting for her to outgrow them and not want them anymore.
Be like, this is trash. Like, I'll take your trash.
I know. I love when she goes through to stuff to get rid of stuff because then I'm like, ooh, look at this hoodie.
You're just like a little raccoon.
Yeah, I'm like that. I'm like that. That old lady in Labyrinth has all of that stuff on her back.
Yes.
That's me.
Yeah. My child's going through my drawers and be like, Mom. You don't want this anymore, right? Like all the stuff, you know, Stranger Things shirts or horror stuff, like t-shirts, and especially Scream, because she's really into that. But anyway,
and you slap her hand away.
I'm like,
get your own shit.
Get out of here. Get out. I said get. So anyway, that's what's up with me. What's up with you?
Nothing. Nothing. And we always say, I'm always like, oh, work and school and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I did go down to Irvine last weekend with my son and my husband for the their state championships in ice hockey. But I didn't want to use that as my what's new with me, because even though his team was number one seeded out of all of the teams in the championship, they didn't win a single game.
Oh, bummer.
He played fairly well. The team has two goalies, so he played, you know, he played the first game, the other goalie played the second game, then the third game they split. And he played pretty well. But, they didn't win a single game. And so it was kind of like a bummer, because I don't go to his tournaments often. I don't see him play very often. Mm-hmm. So many of them are out of town, and traveling for them is just really difficult for me. Like, I had to get a substitute for Friday in order to go to this.
Yeah.
But I did, because, you know, it was a big deal. It was the end of the season and everything. So it was, you know, you kind of wish that they had done better. But, you know, obviously I'm still glad that I went and got to see him play, especially since, you know, he's a junior this year. So all of that time is like dwindling.
It'll fly by.
Yeah. And before I know it, like, you know, those opportunities aren't even going to be available to me if I wanted to take advantage of them. So,
yeah. Well, you know, you go out and you got a sub and, you know, a little change from the usual day to day, like, you know, they're all
got to work sit in the car, drive down to Irvine,
good for you. And were you sit in passenger hotels. Princess?
No, I wouldn't say that. Did I was just gritting my teeth the whole time. No, Tom drove the whole time, and he is one of those very aggressive I-5 drivers. Partly because he's made that trip.
The man I'm marrying is totally chill. Yeah, a little bit.
Well, and I think that part of that, because, you know, the same reason for Victor as it is for Tom, that they've done that drive so many times.
Yes.
That you have a very different attitude toward it.
You know where the good bathrooms are? You, like, know that route.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, the stinky smell for the cows. Mm-hmm. We have to close our vents because we know it's coming.
But yeah, and it's just, I describe it as, it's just a pissing contest. Like, you know, I'm gonna, you know, wait for my opening and then move into the right lane and like gun the engine and burn up a whole bunch of unnecessary gas to get in front of two more cars before I have to screech over to the left because there's a big rig in front of me. And it's like, what did that accomplish? That accomplished nothing. Why do we have to drive like this?
Victor's like, don't worry, pretty little head, baby. Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. I'm like, I can't. Yeah. I fear for my life.
Yeah, no, and I'm like, don't look up. Don't look up. Don't. But you can still feel the, like, gunning in the end. Like, you can. So it wasn't my favorite. We're driving again down for your wedding. We'll be driving again that time. But we'll be in a different vehicle. This one we were in our Chevy Blazer. But that on that trip, we're going to be in the Tesla. So I'm almost more scared.
You're draining the battery.
Well, no, because it doesn't. No, just joking. Any time that you decelerate in the Tesla, it's regenerative battery. Hmm. So you actually add charge back. Hmm. So that's not really the concern. Like, my concern is just that the acceleration on the Tesla is so dramatically faster that it'll actually make it easier to pass people. So I'm afraid he's going to get like even more ballsy with it. And then he also wants to like actually open it up. Like, we've never been able to drive the Tesla anywhere near as fast as it can go. And he's excited to do that. And I'm like, well, I don't want to die.
Should I have other people ready to take your place?
Perhaps.
In case
you're stand-in.
In a coma. Or concussed.
Yes.
Okay. I have a few ideas.
Wow, you came up with that really fast.
Yep.
I hope they'll fit in my dress.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
So I did the synopsis of Incantation. I always would suggest to anyone watching it to watch it in the Mandarin.
If you can find it, which I couldn't.
It's on Netflix.
I went back and looked at the settings.
Yeah, you have to choose the setting, and it says Mandarin with English subtitles.
The only options that I saw when I went into subtitles is it allowed me to turn the subtitles on, mm-hmm. but it was subtitles over the dubbed version. It didn't change the film.
That's weird. It must have been maybe your platform that you watch.
Maybe, or maybe I wasn't looking in the right place.
I don't know. That's weird.
We'll have to do a tutorial for our listeners.
I'll show. Sometimes. Yes, I'll show you. Like, see, I promise I'm not on drugs.
Well, I am, but this is still true.
This is still true. Okay. So there's a voiceover at the beginning, a voiceover about wishing things for people, that your will can change the outcome events, and that's how blessings work. Then there is a voice saying your will can change what you are perceiving. There's a direction of a Ferris wheel, a spinning, the direction of a train, which way it's going on the platform. Suddenly there are images of a child looking distressed with bruises, many teeth. It is footage taken of a child, and quickly a woman is doing sort of a confessional. Her name is Ronan, and 6 years she confesses she violated a taboo. Anyone associated with the matter would befall misfortunes she can't explain. We see a car crash. It's titled Mom and Dad, where there's suddenly a crash and Ronan is in the backseat witnessing their demise, mm-hmm. the demise of her parents. She says, the more you understand the curse, the more you're affected by its power. And then there's footage of a woman showing... who's Ronan, showing the video camera to police officers, and then they're later shown on, what's it called? When it's like,
CCTV?
Where it's just in the corner and it's videoing and it's just like surveillance. Closed circuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. There's like kind of surveillance footage where they're taking their own lives with their guns.
Oh, yeah. That was upsetting.
She shows the viewer a symbol and shows how to recite a prayer and what to do with your hands in the prayer, saying it will give you fortune. Suddenly, she's speaking to the camera about her new camera purchase, saying, hello, Toto, or Dodo. That in the dub version, they call her Toto,
yeah.
But in Mandarin, they call her Dodo. That's okay. Her nickname.
Okay.
Dodo. And then the bell rings in her doorbell in her apartment, and there is a social worker who's in charge of bringing her daughter home. She wants to kind of see how she's living. And Ronan seems kind of nervous and excited and all that stuff. She asks, you know, what are you filming? And Ronan says she wants to document her daughter's new life. She's trying to gain custody of her. She takes Ronan to see her daughter in the foster care home. Her daughter is so adorable and very,
oh my
very
God.
Shy.
She's cutest so cute. Little girl in the planet.
I know. So Dodo is being taken very well, you know, very well taken care of. The teacher/foster home teacher talks about why he wanted to run a foster home to kind of know what it feels like to be a father. Dodo asks if they can bring home the giant dog, and Ronan's not sure how to answer. Ming, who's the foster dad, says, no, it's for the other kids. And, you know, but he also seems really connected to her also.
Yeah.
So then the scene changes and it's footage of Ronan in a mental health facility. She describes a tunnel and knowing too much bringing misfortune. And that watching the video of a tunnel will kill you. And the more you understand it about the deity, the more it will cause misfortune to her, I guess, her therapist or psychiatrist, whoever is taking care of her. Then you see a video of Dodo leaving the foster home. All the caretakers are saying goodbye, wishing her well. Then there's footage of the car, and she tries to make it. It's kind of like a a dash cam.
Yeah.
And Ronan's trying to make small talk with Dodo. She's pretty shy at first. And then they get to their new home, and she shows Dodo her new room. It looks like she really tried very hard to make it a nice, warm, welcoming.
Yeah, it's really decorated and very cute. And she put like welcome on the wall, which was in English, which is strange.
Yeah, I don't know. Dodo asks, you know, why are you filming all this? And she explains, you know, she was sick, but now that they can be together, and she wants to record all of it so they can watch it together later when Dodo's all grown up. They're writing together in a notebook, and there is they're kind of saying out loud her actual name, which is not Dodo. I forget actually her given name. And they repeat it several times. They write it on the notebook, and suddenly there's a crash in the other room. It's also late in the evening. Dodo looks up at this point when Ronan leaves the room to go see what it is. And she looks like she's looking at something on the ceiling.
Yeah, which is never a good sign when a small child looks
really
up into the...
A really adorable little cutie, and you're like, oh.
Empty corner of the ceiling where there's nothing, and they're just staring into that spot.
That sounds great. So
thanks for doing that.
So the glass door is broken. That was what the loud noise was. There was a gross, cockroach. Dodo's later complaining about something in her eye, and Ronan has to look inside it. And she's like, I'm so sorry. You know what happened? And trying to comfort her. Later, she is talking to the camera and talking about how that there was a noise in the kitchen. And Dodo, she's asleep now. Then there's another noise in the kitchen. Excuse me. Let me need some water. Hold on. So Dodo is asleep. She goes to the fridge and sees that it's a jar and there's milk dripping all over the shelf. And then she's like pursuing it more. There's weird noises and the front door is open. Hold on. I had a cold earlier this week.
Oh yeah. No, I've had the same cold for like 6 or 7 years now.
Jeez.
Okay. No, like 4 weeks. I'm over it.
I just had little tickles in my throat. So her front door is open. She hears a weird screaming and like an anguished, weird cry in the hallway elevator. And she's like terrified. Things start moving around her. She's really freaked out. She goes to her daughter's room to see that she's asleep. And then suddenly the toilet is flushing on its own. Dodo's not in bed suddenly. She's in bed, and then she looks at the toilet to see it's flushing. She looks back, and Dodo's not in the bed anymore.
Yeah.
And then she can be seen running away and kind of in a trance. She seems to be asleep, and she's repeating her name, which is something that they were doing earlier, but she's in a sleepy kind of trance. Suddenly, she starts screaming, and the door slams shut, and her colored pencils are spilled all over the ground. It seems to not really be... It takes a moment to kind of realize it's in the same form of the symbol. That symbol.
Yeah.
So that's a little concerning.
It's always upsetting when inanimate objects form religious symbols all on their own.
Yeah. So then cut to 6 years ago. The title card says 6 years ago, and they are the Ghostbusters. And it's Ronan, her boyfriend. I think his name is, I forget what his name is. And there's another guy there, and they're all kind of being nerdy.
And
nerdy
isn't the boyfriend and the other guy related? They're like cousins or something?
I don't remember, actually. So they're in the middle of nowhere, and her two companions are weirded out by there's a Mother Buddha statue that they actually accidentally ran over. Ronan suddenly is sick on the side of the road. The elders finally greet them when they get to the village and tell her she can't come in. She's a family, and it's only members of the family that are allowed to stay and take part in the ritual.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why I thought that the boys were related to each other, because Ronan is the only one that they're like, she can't be here.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. So they say she can't stay until an elder woman basically climbs into the car and looks at her hand, and she's like, no, you can stay.
She's like, just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
She's cool.
Yeah. So they get settled in. There are a lot of people at this village. They're preparing for that ritual. There are grubs that they're collecting. And everyone seems to be in good spirits. One of the guys mentions, who's part of their group, he mentions the tunnel. And then the Grand Uncle says, quit messing around. You're not, you know, you're going to be in here. You know what we are doing.
Don't be a dumbass.
Yeah, don't be stupid. So present day, Ronan is at work, and suddenly there are those same bugs that we see in the footage from 6 years ago, those grubs everywhere. The school calls, and a little boy has been bitten. Dodo bit him, and she's sent home. She's upset because a boy called her crazy. The social workers are also upset because she had never exhibited that behavior while she was in their care. Her work's also upset because she kind of bailed. I feel like she does, like, makeup or something, yeah. And she bailed on her job.
Mm-hmm.
Ronan's worried, but she also says she's not scared anymore because she's well now.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly, Dodo's calling her name and screaming about the baddie in the ceiling. She's in her bed, and she's, like, pointing at the ceiling, like, there's the baddie! And she wants her mom to get rid of it. She tells her mom to reach up and grab it by the hand and lead it out. And she does, and walks out of the room towards the door. And as the viewer, we can see a shadow move across the wall, and Dodo starts yelling at it to come down. But Ronan, of course, doesn't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
The following day, she goes to talk to the new principal that she has, and he mentions that she was talking to a baddie in the ceiling. She brings toys to the class to butter them up, and they're like, Dodo's not crazy anymore. Thanks for the toys.
Her mom bribed us.
We later see footage of Dodo playing at school, and her teacher is very startled when he sees long arms reaching out towards her, mm-hmm. like way, way down the hallway.
Which really is really creepy arms.
Oh my gosh, so terrifying. Later at home, her toys are all covered by blankets on their heads. Dodo doesn't want them to see the baddie.
Yeah, well, she's protecting them.
Yeah, I know. Ronan says she used to be scared all the time, too. And she pretends to be, you know, that she's the bunny. She holds them, you know, and play acts with the bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes them the doctor, reenacting sort of the things that she went through. Like, what do you do when you're afraid? And the bunnies are like, well, I don't know. And she's like, you have to say three things aloud that don't make you scared. Something you really like.
Mm-hmm.
And Dodo is like, I really like pineapple. I like my rabbit, and like other things. And you can see she's like, has a kind of a very nice maternal nature. She seems like she's a good mom.
Yeah. And Dodo seems like a totally like sweet, normal little kid. Like she's not, it's not like the creepy, spooky, like she, you know, she's always like looking scary or looking weird or doing something weird. Like she's just a sweet, normal little girl.
Yeah. Yeah. So she tucks in Dodo and she asks Ronan, hey, did you throw me away because you were scared of the monster? Or you were scared?
Mm-hmm.
And Ronan says, "Is like, no, I'm not scared of the monsters anymore. You know, so don't worry." So she kind of has an understanding that her mom had gone through some stuff and was very afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened.
Well, you'd have to wonder what they would explain to a kid that young who has been in foster care since she was a baby and is now being like released to a biological mother that she doesn't know.
Yeah.
It's actually surprising like how quickly they seem to like bond and connect and seem comfortable with each other, considering like my impression was that this is the first time Ronan had ever had custody of her, like in her life.
Yeah.
And so it's like, she's a complete stranger to this little girl.
Yeah. And well, I wonder, did she seem to like see her before? Like when she goes to visit her? I think she probably like
maybe met her a little bit, but I don't know like how often or for how long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of weird.
It is weird. It is a little bit weird, but you know, kids are kind of like that. Like, you know, I never really met you, but oh, you're showing an interest in me. Let me talk your ear off.
You gave me toys.
Yeah.
We're coloring. All right, let's do this.
So in the flashback, the elders tell them they need to return to worship every 10 years. They go through a ritual. She tells her that she's offering her baby girl to Mother Buddha too. And Ronan looks bewildered because she didn't know she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the village elder, she knows.
Yeah. So. Well, she was barfing on the side of the road. So it's like that very typical, like she says something about her baby and then she's like, what?
Yeah.
Like this light going on.
So when they're part of the worship and the ritual is offering your name.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of, it's like, it's the deity's the name is that belongs to the deity now.
Yeah, because they're like, you can't use it anymore. Mm-hmm,
after and you can't even think it. It's theirs now. Mm-hmm. So if you say it out loud, it's like a big no. So you can't really do that. So later they go into the village. There's worshippers and they are caught by this little girl who is she's called the Chosen One. And she's mm-hmm. also missing an ear that was kind of part of the ritual, and it means she was chosen mm-hmm. and blessed everybody. She leads them away to a building and leads Ronan into a room with a shrine altar, and the guys have to stay outside. The girl crawls into a cabinet in the room. It's very dark and covered with religious imagery above her, and there's tapestry blankets. There's also dark dripping substance coming from the blankets from the ceiling. The little girl returns with an egg roll box and asks her to throw some hair inside to feed a frog. It makes a creepy, like, chomping noise. And suddenly all of the statues that had their backs turned to anyone are now facing them mm-hmm. suddenly. The villagers catch them and they're like yelling, "What are you doing here? You can't be in here." And they get kicked out. Later, they celebrate in present day Dodo's birthday. They celebrate with a nice cake. Dodo is filming. She this is after the celebration. She's filming and she's left alone while her mother, Ronan is dealing with the realtor. And something bids her to kind of walk up these apartment steps and go into a balcony all alone. Mm-hmm. She leans over the edge of the balcony and says, "Yes." So she can, then she gets a footstool and appears to be looking for guidance at something that we can't see as a viewer. She sits on the edge of the balcony and then says, "Well, and now what?" Okay. And she jumps and drops and you hear a crash mm-hmm. and you're like, well, she's dead.
Right. She just jumped off of whatever floor of this building.
Yeah, because were they on the first floor? What's up with that?
They were up a couple flights of stairs.
Yeah, definitely a problem.
So a problematic height.
But just as quickly as she went off the edge of the balcony, she's crawling back over and she mm-hmm. has a knife. She has a blade and seems to be kind of possessed. And she goes into a room that's unoccupied, but filled with statues. Mm-hmm. And there's red lights. We hear her kind of giggling with the door kind of ajar, and the camera is out of focus. She suddenly is watching the footage that Ronan took with her documentary crew, the Ghostbusters. And which also led to other people taking their own lives.
Right.
So later we see Dodo's caretaker also... She seemed to be impacted by the curse and she takes her own life by sticking a glass blowing thing
yeah.
in her mouth.
That was very upsetting.
Crazy. So meanwhile, back at the village where the documentary is taking place, the villagers lock them into their room because they're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing and they break out. they really want to just enter the Chen clan's tunnel that you're not allowed to enter because they are serious Ghostbusters.
They are absolutely serious Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Ronan is sick again, and she and her boyfriend agree on a name in a very tender moment. It's interrupted by a clan that's... the clan's doing a processional kind of ritual thing. Ronan is dealing with weird medical stuff with her daughter, and it goes back, actually, to present day again. Ronan's dealing with weird medical stuff that's happened since that, like, jumping off the balcony thing. And they're threatening to take her parental rights again. Actually, they're like, "We're not threatening. It's already happened. We just have obligated to tell you."
Yeah. This is your notification.
Yes. Her doctors tell her that she needs to, you know, forgive herself, put trust in herself. So then she decides to kidnap her child out of the hospital and puts her in the back of the car.
I mean, it's what I would do.
Yeah. She goes to get some stuff, groceries, other things. And she's like, "Dodo, I'll return, but hide under this blanket in the back seat." Mm-hmm. And then it's interrupted by her foster dad, Ming. And he sees her and he's like, "Open the door for dad." And she opens the door. Dodo opens the door and he gets in and he's suddenly like, "Should I turn her in? You know, because she's doing this?" And then he suddenly is like, "I can't do it."
Yeah.
Because Ronan just seems like she has like a look of terror on her face and something mm-hmm. is really wrong.
Well, doesn't it? He asks Dodo, like, "Do you love your mommy? Do you, you know,
are you happy with her?"
Yeah. And so then he like realizes and she says yes. And so he doesn't want to hurt Dodo or, you know, take her away from her mom. So, yeah, he gets very conflicted.
Yeah. And then he makes the decision to let her in the car, Ronan in the car, and they all three drive away while they're being pursued by the cops and the hospital staff. Because mm-hmm. they're like, you can't just leave and you don't even have parental rights anyway.
Yeah.
So at this point, we see more footage of from the past. They find a girl from earlier who was the chosen girl with writing that was all over her. She's asleep, slash, I guess, unconscious in front of that tunnel. And a very, it's this really small, little, tiny door mm-hmm. that the other guy just kind of kicks in and smashes to smithereens.
Like a real asshole.
I know. I'm like, why are you such a...
Like, I understand you're a Ghostbuster and you want to explore this, forbidden tunnel and everything. But it's like, I feel like that's another level to be like, you know that you're intruding on somebody's, religious space and, their faith practices and their beliefs and everything. But to, smash your way through, to destroy it in the process of trying to get into it is just, extreme.
Yeah, you have zero respect.
Exactly. For it's already disrespectful to be intruding on it, but then to destroy it in the process is, not cool.
Yeah, to smash it up. So he kicks the door. I said the idiotic partner kicks the door in and opens the tunnel, and they hear the screaming of a child. It sounds like a inside the tunnel.
That is exactly what a child screaming sounds like.
It's like, no, it's like, sounds like a cat mewing too.
You're like, you know how children scream.
That makes me think of Dumb and Dumber. Do you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? Okay, so, but they're like, you know, there's a kid in there.
Yeah,
you know,
we got to go in and help him.
Yeah. So the two of them crawl inside the tunnel, leaving Ronan outside, kind of keeping watch and trying to kind of, I think, call for help for this girl that's unconscious. Mm-hmm. They have officially entered the place that they must not enter. Suddenly, she starts bleeding from her in her groin area. That would be some kind of indicative of something's happening with the baby.
Right, maybe she's having a miscarriage
something's a big deal. And Yuan, that's the guy. Yuan leaves the tunnel screaming and running into the woods. That was the dummy who kicked the door in.
Yeah.
The camera is left broken at the entrance of the tunnel. Her boyfriend is pulled out with his face all wrapped up. And Ronan is screaming and crying. And it was the villagers who pulled her boyfriend out of the tunnel. The footage is now silent. And she's wailing. And the girl, the chosen one, gives her something to drink out of a large pot. She shakily walks through the clan's village, but the girl also tries to snatch away the camera. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of a fight but Ronan managed to hold on to it. She stumbles shakily through the clan's village. Yuan seems very possessed. He's yelling, "Don't ask, don't ask, don't ask," running right out of view. And you're like, what in the fuck?
Yeah, some creepy ass shit.
Yeah, it's really crazy. The villagers all are humming. It's a throat kind mm-hmm. of humming.
Well, that's
chant.
What I do in moments of peril.
Yeah. So they're all humming and someone is blazing on fire in the background. Her boyfriend now is kind of a flaming effigy at this point, which is
bummer.
She's screaming in terror. Yuan yells more. His teeth are flying out as he, he tried to bite her and stuff and attack her in a crazy, his face looks insane mm-hmm. and his teeth just start flying out mm-hmm. and suddenly he flies out of nowhere off of the top of the building and takes his own life and crumbles into a pile on the ground mm-hmm. And is really violent, and she's screaming, running in terror, and as all of the villagers are looking on humming and they're all in their under drawers with all of the I guess symbols painted all over their bodies, mm-hmm. Which is so scary and crazy. it's crazy because it's she's not alone at all, but she's super alone.
Yeah.
So it's a weird kind of juxtaposition.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other movies where you've seen similar scenarios where it's it would be, any cult situation, maybe Midsommar or Hereditary, scenes where, you are surrounded by people, but you're the outsider.
Yeah.
And so you are very alone and very, vulnerable.
Yeah.
Even with all these people there, none of them are going to help you. They're they're all the enemy.
Right. It's really crazy. So presently, Ming, who is the foster care dad, Ronan and Dodo are driving to the temple, and things are getting weird. They start seeing the same mile marker over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he's trying to back up and turn back, and suddenly the car just turns off. the car radio starts blasting and they shout a blast news of her therapist or psychiatrist. Suddenly there's a blazing fire that killed everyone at the hospital. You know, and there's suddenly pounding all over the car. And it's a very scary moment. Ronan starts reciting that incantation. And Ming is sort of like, well, I don't really know what to do. So he starts doing it too. Then they go to that temple with it's another temple. And there's a master there and his helper. And they have the camera and they're trying to fix it. The master and his helper tell her, you know, the child cannot eat anything for 7 days. They're trying to like get rid of the curse.
And they're like, can you do that? She was like, 7 days. Like, how can a child not eat for 7 days? And they're like, we're not even going to bother if you can't like do your part.
Because they're like, we're risking our lives to take this curse on, you know, and you can't like give in. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. So Ming then takes the camera and he watches it and he says he knows what he wants to do. You know, he will do anything to kind of have that feeling to be a dad, because he wants to also see what's behind this, what's happening with this. Yeah. So he kind of goes on his own quest to find out what's going on. He's trying to fix the footage of the camera. He's trying to go find somebody who can do a translation of this really ancient, I guess, scripture or something. And it's kind of a faraway temple where there's this priest, I guess, Buddhist priest.
There's the only one that's still, because it's some very, very old language. And there's only one monk left that can still translate it.
Yeah. So he goes to do that. So then there's the, and I said, cue the footage of him being a really good caretaker of Dodo. He obviously loves her very much. And then later Dodo is, you know, she's very sick with a fever. She's incredibly ill. The doctor she rushes to like a late night clinic and is like, can you please help me? And he's like, I can't inject her with this medicine until she's eaten something.
Yeah, she needs something in her stomach. Yeah, Go feed her and bring her back.
Yeah, come back when you've done that. So she takes matters into her own hands. She goes to a pharmacy, I guess, breaks in, looks up a YouTube of how to do this medicine and does it on her own. So later, Dodo is sick with even more. And, you know, she's not looking good. She's hungry. She's very, very weak. Her legs are super atrophied. She has bruising. It's like, she's a mess. Then Ronan, finally, she goes against her master's requests, the master's request, and feeds her a few bites of pineapple, which is not great.
Bad call.
Yeah, really bad. Meanwhile, Ming is repairing the video file, restoring it of the tunnel. And he mentions, like, as he's pursuing this work, he's feeling really unwell. His teeth have started to fall out. You see, like, dark shadows under his eyes as he's, like, kind of getting closer to the truth of what this is. Right. He starts getting bloody noses. He also notes that the hand gestures that he's seeing everyone in the cults or / Chen clan is not normal. It's the opposite of blessings. And so it's kind of a bastard. I don't know, I want to say bastardized version, but it's very
reversed.
Yeah.
It's like a hand gesture that is meant to collect blessings is like reversed so that it's like rejecting or like pushing blessings out.
Yeah. I'm not really sure, but he's like, this is strange.
But he's supposed to do the opposite.
Yeah. So he takes the scripture to that man who can translate it. In his confessional, he also says he is the one who reported Ronan, because he was like, this is, something's not right. And he reported her, and he feels really bad having done that, now that he knows there's something really dangerous happening.
Right. That wasn't Ronan's fault.
Yeah. Super, very, very sinister. He also mentioned that he couldn't have children biologically, and he was also very thankful for Dodo being in his life. Then the film is restored on his computer. You see him talking, and suddenly it's like, oh, the film's restored. He can watch it now. And then we see, as a viewer, he seems really possessed and he takes his own life. And it's very sad.
Yeah.
So suddenly we're back with Ronan, and he's you see many, many texts from Ming, which is the video file from the tunnel popping up over and over and over. And she's like terrified. She knows he's taken his own life. And she's like freaking out. Dodo complains of her hands, and she goes to look, and it's like a gruesome discovery. It's like black bumps, rot all on her back and her arms. And it's really, really awful. Think like a boba. Like those noodles. Gross. That's what it reminded me of. I'm like, oh my God, that's terrifying. So she goes to the toilet and Dodo, she's like, you need to vomit up that pineapple. And she gets her to vomit it up. And at this point, she returns to the master, but he is dead. And the temple is very dark. And his assistant is also possessed. She's facing away from her. And she is also scratching at her scalp as blood is just pouring out.
Yeah.
Dodo is there in the wheelchair, kind of sitting there, kind of in a little bit of a coma, kind of sleep. And suddenly, she's in her... Hold on. Suddenly, the light on the camera starts flashing, on Ronan's camera starts flashing, and everything in the room is kind of possessed. There's sculptures that suddenly face her. It's a terrifying scene.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly Dodo is out of the wheelchair and she's levitating in the air. And then suddenly, full circle, it's back to the beginning of the film as Ronan is telling the viewer what the prayer / incantation do. The clan had to chant the blessings because of bad karma passing from generation to generation, which means that it's Dodo's part of that because mm-hmm. her father was part of the clan.
Right.
And she also did that huge taboo as well. So now Dodo is in the ICU. Ronan finally knows what she has to do. She watches the movie, the tunnel footage, and her mind is pretty set with what she has to, how to fix this. Then there's footage of Dodo leaving the ICU with her hand holding something we can't see. It's mm-hmm. like an entity of some kind. And she goes and finds a teen girl outside on the ground somehow. It's the same girl, I think, from the original documentary footage of who was the chosen girl.
Yeah, because she's like 13. They say like a young teen girl. And that kind of aligns with, she seemed like she was maybe 8 or 9 in the original video.
Yeah. So then they manage to get Dodo, they bring her back to the hospital. She is murmuring, and the hospital staff tell her, she was saying pineapple, rat, bunny, different things to herself to kind of make herself not feel so scared anymore. So she's realizing Ronan's like, my daughter's still in there, and I have to do something. And she was murmuring that stuff to keep the monsters away. So then we see Ronan also go to take matters into her own hands. She cuts the other ear off of the girl, like, as a sacrifice to the deity. Then this is finally the part where we see the tunnel footage.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of religious stuff as the guys are walking down the tunnel. There's mirrors. The two men hear the sounds of like children and weird mewing sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Then they move the mirrors. There are offerings on the table. It looks like bound hair and other kinds of offerings like teeth. There's the statues are there. There's more and more noises, but they seem not like human.
Right.
And very creepy. Then they pursue it further down the tunnel. There's a deity there with all the arms out and a covered face. There's bowls of offerings. Then finally, I think the guy's name is Dom. Mm-hmm. That's his nickname, her boyfriend.
Right.
He's like, I'll uncover it. And suddenly he's facing, you can't see his face. You see his back. And suddenly he is possessed. And then he starts shoving the hair down his mouth and eating it. And it's going crazy. Suddenly all the mirrors just come crashing down. Yuan is crying out to a very possessed Dom who's smashing his head very violently against the wall.
Yeah.
We see like arms coming out of the ceiling towards him, which is like a gray, creepy arms. And suddenly he faces Yuan. He's basically missing most of his face. It's like bones and horrible. And Yuan is looking very scared, freaked out. He runs away.
Very not cool with he's all like, of this.
Like screaming. I'm like, what kind of Ghostbuster are you?
You're the worst Ghostbuster ever.
Running out. Ronan brings all of Dodo's things. Now it's present day again. Ronan brings all of Dodo's things to the hospital. She goes and gets the little dog, that she brings.
Adopted the dog that Dodo wanted to, that she saw her at the kennel on her birthday.
Yeah. So she brings the dog, all of her things. And now she has writings all over her own body. She apologizes for everything in this confessional. She asks for forgiveness. She's basically like, forget about me. I love you. Forget about me. I want you to live a happy life and a long life without me. Ronan finally returns to a very empty village, and she goes into the tunnel to make things right. She replaces a lot of the items. She smashes the mirror. She replaces the statues where they were, so that her arm is now pocketed and rotted, looking like her daughter's was. She approaches the deity and make that that had made her boyfriend take his own life. She puts the ear from that she cut off the girl, and she's like, "This is an offering."
Mm-hmm.
She leans in prayer, and she asks the viewer to recite the incantation. Ronan now confesses to lying to the viewers, saying it was a trick. It's not a blessing. It's sharing a curse onto strangers to try to help alleviate the curse, make it less, dilute lessen it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Mother Buddha's face is a curse, and to look upon it is a burden. She says, if you can manipulate more people into watching the video and saying the blessing, then the curse is lessened for her child.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all she cares about.
Yeah.
She covers her eyes with a bandana or a piece of fabric, and then she wishes for her daughter to be happy. She uncovers the face of the entity, and we as a viewer see a dark, gaping maw on this deity.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly Ronan is asked, what's your name? And she takes her own life. Yeah. And then that's the end of incantation.
Yeah.
So did you think it was scary?
I did think it was scary. I know that I would have thought it was scarier if I hadn't been watching a dubbed version.
Oh my God, it's so annoying.
Yeah, no.
I was sick and watched it, and I was like, this is really stupid.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, we talked about this a lot back when we covered Wreck, because I feel like that's the only other time in my experience where, you know, I've seen a subtitled version of a movie and then a dubbed version of the movie, and being so enormously disappointed with the dubbed version. And like that one, I think, is a worse example because the job that they did dubbing it was actually a bad job. Like the casting and the way that it was recorded. Yeah. In Wreck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it wasn't just that it was dubbed. It was that it was dubbed badly.
Yeah.
That made the dubbed version so much less scary than the original version with subtitles. And so with this one, I don't think the dubbed version was done poorly, but I do know that had it been the actual voices of the performers and the actual audio from the scenes, like it would have been more frightening. But no, there were definitely several scenes that were very, very scary, like the one that you already mentioned when she returns to the people who are helping her at the end, trying to help her save Dodo, and the woman facing away, like scratching the back of her head, and all the blood gushing down, and then like that woman like disappearing and then reappearing. And it was very, very tense, very suspenseful, very frightening. Like that was an excellent scene. And then I feel like the original footage of the two boys going into the tunnel was kind of like, ooh, like suspenseful and everything, but didn't. And then obviously it was like really upsetting when Dom killed himself. But when she went into the tunnel later, I think that was a much scarier situation or scene or series of scenes, because first of all, like, you don't really know what she plans to do. Because when the boys go in, they're just kind of like, let's just see.
They're going in to fuck around.
Yeah, basically. They're like, let's see what's in here.
Let me see all this precious object.
Yeah, and, like, right?
Kick everything around.
But with her, we know she has a plan. We don't know what the plan is. We don't know what she's going in there to do, but we know that she's intentional. Like she thinks she knows what she needs to do to save her daughter. And we don't know what that thing is. And so, and the way that they timed the revelation, because of her telling the viewer, like, JK, it wasn't a blessing. I'm actually tricking all of you into absorbing a portion of this curse so that my daughter's portion will be lessened. And the way that they, like, the timing where they introduce that piece of information from Ronan in the sequence of her going back into the tunnel to try and accomplish this goal was, I think it was really well executed. It was really well blended to make that final scene, like, a really good climax to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that her journey through the tunnel was more frightening than the one with the boys earlier.
Yeah.
but... Yeah, there were like a lot of different like scenes and points. Mostly for me, I think in the village were most of the scenes that I thought were really scary. The ones that took place in their apartment or in the city that were kind of supposed to be building the suspense and the tension, you know, just like kind of little spooky things or a little like, wait, that's messed up. What's going on here? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's formulaic for a horror movie of like, oh, something fell like and smashed in the other room. Like, and we don't know why. And oh, the fridge is open and there's milk everywhere. And then, you know, it gradually escalates and those things get a little bit more scary and a little bit more scary. So most of the scary things that happened in their apartment or in the city, I thought were like, oh, okay. Like I see what you're doing there.
Yeah.
But most of the scenes that were really frightening, I think, were the ones that took place in the village. Mm-hmm. And or in that sequence, even because when she's trying to get Dodo help before, you know, she decides to give her up, when she takes her to the doctor and the doctor's like, you need to feed her so I can give her the medicine. Like, she's in a town, but mm-hmm. it's like a rural, like a much more rural town, like out near where the cult's village is. And so it's not like in the city where they lived. Mm-hmm. 'Cause those scenes are pretty, that was part of the sequence that I thought was pretty scary.
Yeah.
So I do wish that I had been able to see the subtitled version first, because that's the thing, is that now that I've seen it and I know what happens, even if I had the opportunity to go back and watch it in Cantonese with the English subtitles, it wouldn't be as impactful as if the first time I'd seen it had been that way, because I already know what's going to happen. But I definitely, I did think that it was scary. The thing that, and I don't know if this affected how scary I thought that it was the curse was very vague. Mm-hmm. You know, it was lots of times, especially when we have like demonic curse cult things. And if they're like, you know, from the Catholic Church, like that kind of demonic thing, or if it's from a different culture, it's usually very like specific and codified. Like there's all these rules and it's very clear what's happening. Mm-hmm. And with this one, it was just kind of like, ooh, it's bad. It's bad.
Just stay away.
Just, I mean, there's teeth and it's no good. It's bad stuff. And then there's like there's some consistency with the, you know, people killing themselves, because you have the police officers, you have the social worker, and then you have obviously Dom and then eventually Ronan. But it's like, Ronan has been a part of the curse for a very long time. She's been exposed to it, but she doesn't kill herself until the very end. Mm-hmm. Like there's no real explanation for why and when certain people kill themselves as part of their exposure to this. Yeah. It's a little bit like convoluted in that way. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if that affected, like it's possible for something like that to make it more scary, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's the unknown. It's not like, oh, well, you know, obviously she killed herself because she did X, Y, and Z.
It's not it's been 7 days.
So, exactly. Like doing like tick tock. Oh, now you're dead.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like a little bit that not really understanding what was happening might have reduced how scary it was, because it could have been a little bit clearer or a little bit more consistent. Mm-hmm. One of the big things that makes something scary is you anticipating the bad thing that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And if you have no idea what's going on and you can't predict or even guess or deduce, like you with your, you know, ability to figure all of this stuff out, like, oh, it's the little girl with one ear with the candlestick in the library. If you're not able to kind of be trying to figure it out, I think it does make it a little bit less scary.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, it's every story is different. So I don't think mm-hmm. that you can categorically say that just because it wasn't really clear and specific, a la The Ring or a la The Exorcist.
You sound like the guy from Scream, like, there's rules.
Yes, I am Jamie Kennedy, in every way, way I could possibly be. But yeah, no, I definitely liked it. Did you think it was scary?
Hell yeah, I thought it was scary. And it's hard for me to be like, I think when I first watched this, it gave me like a kind of a anxiety stomach ache.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I know I am appreciative of a scary movie. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, this makes me feel like nauseous, anxious, nervous.
That's like it's you fun. Would have a rating, like if you were rating how scary a movie was, like instead of the guy jumping up on the seat and clapping, it would be like you holding your stomach, like, vomiting.
No, it's like when you go on a roller coaster where you're like, oh, you know, kind yeah. of, you know, anxious, heart beating and nervous. What's going to happen? I agree about the apartment scenes. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of it was having to do with like the randomness of them suddenly being very sick or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was sort of they tried to explain some, but I think it was also kind of infesting you, kind of,
yeah.
maybe. But I really appreciated all the found footage, the different creative ways they showed how this went down mm-hmm. and what happened. I didn't catch this really until I watched it the second time. I thought it was really fun for the revelation also that she knew what the scripture said or whatever that was mm-hmm. said, because she already went to go. She let this guy go mm-hmm. and she had gone to visit him already when she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, why? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're letting him go find that more. And then while she's, but then I wonder, maybe she psyched herself out so much, or she went through so much therapy that saying this isn't real.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she convinced herself.
Maybe that's what happened too.
Okay.
You know, it's possible because mm-hmm. she's like, it's not real. I'm not afraid anymore. This isn't real. This isn't real. And she was told for how long?
Mm-hmm.
Years, probably, yeah. that this isn't real.
Yeah.
Like, this is manifestation. This, you know, this is all coincidences. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry your parents died. But it's not related to mm-hmm. this curse you're saying that's happening.
Yeah.
So that was one of my rationalizations for her motivation.
Okay.
And then also trying to be okay so she can finally have her daughter, who she obviously loves
yeah.
a lot. And it was also part of her boyfriend, who she loved probably a lot too.
And then lost him.
And lost him in a very tragic, terrifying. She saw him like a burning in the village. Mm-hmm. And she's like screaming in terror. Mm-hmm. It's probably the most traumatic, horrible thing you could ever go through in your life. And then also there's the idea of what it's like to lose your child and have your child taken away from you because yeah. of the state of your, how you can handle things and what you think's going on. And
I wasn't really clear on how she gave Dodo up initially, like if it was voluntary, if it was right at birth, if, you know, she had her and like she was already institutionalized and so they took the baby immediately, or like I felt like that wasn't very clearly explained.
I don't think so either. I know it was probably very early on.
Yeah.
Because they kind of mentioned like she's been here since she was a baby.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm guessing probably very early.
Yeah, but like really the, know. You know, whether or not she gave her up voluntarily would, you know, make a really big difference when it comes to her, Ronan's understanding of what had happened to her while she was in the village. Because obviously what started happening to Dodo was a result of what was done to Ronan while she was pregnant with Dodo.
Yes.
And so, like, for Ronan to have decided deliberately to give up the baby could have indicated that she recognized that the baby was in danger, or like maybe she gave her up to like try and like save her, get her away from the curse that she, you know, knew or suspected or whatever had been put on her in utero.
Yeah.
But I mean, the flip side of that is that if she, you know, went through, like we see what happens to her in the village initially when the two young men die, but we don't know what happens between that and her being in the hospital getting psychiatric treatment.
Yeah.
Like we don't know how she ended up in the hospital and how much of a time gap that there was there. And so it's like if she was institutionalized immediately after this horrifying experience in the village, which would kind of make sense, mm-hmm. then like, okay, well, she carried out her pregnancy while she was in the institution. Then when she had the baby, they would have immediately taken the baby away from her. So yeah. I think that it would be interesting if they had answered that question of whether or not she gave the baby up voluntarily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like you say, there was the things that she knew that she was then either like convinced were not real or like kind of brainwashed into forgetting through the course of her psychiatric treatment. And so that would might make sense where it's like if she gave the baby up thinking that, she was saving Dodo from the curse, if then she was convinced by the doctors that the curse wasn't real, then that would make sense that she would be like, okay, I'm better now and I want to be your mom because she doesn't see herself as a danger. But that's another thing that's kind of strange is that like, you know, that didn't really get explained the nuances of how the curse worked, because again, like Ronan was fine all of those years that she was in the hospital. You know, she, to our knowledge, she wasn't experiencing any infestation, you know, anything like that. And Dodo was fine where mm-hmm. she was in the foster. And it wasn't until Dodo came back to Ronan that she started experiencing those things. Is that it?
Probably. I mean,
so then you don't think that they ever would have used her given name in the foster home?
I have no idea. But maybe it was her saying it.
It could be.
That kind of like instigated.
Yeah, that's possible. But then again, it's like, so, but then why was it only Dodo that was being infested at that point and not Ronan?
I don't know.
So that's why, I mean, like,
there's so many intricacies.
Yeah, there's a lot of things, like a lot of questions that they just left unanswered.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's entirely possible that that was intentional to try and make it scarier because you don't understand what's happening or why.
Right. Yeah.
And
we
so
just know it's a malicious deity. It'll kick you right in the dick.
It'll make you eat
make
hair.
Make your teeth fall out. Don't mess with it.
Don't mess with it.
I don't know. And I've explored a lot of foreign horror movies too, mm-hmm. but this is just kind of came out of nowhere. It showed up on Netflix. It's a foreign film, and I love the take on what do you do if there's a curse and it's a completely different religion. I'm not familiar with it really,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of it was like this: different things aren't real. It's fictional.
Yeah.
So I read a little bit about it. Like, is this real stuff? Mm-hmm. No, not really. But it's like riffing off of the religion. So mm-hmm. I thought it was really kind of crazy and fun. And I really enjoyed it. And so I always tell people, like, if you're wanting to watch a scary movie that's a foreign film, mm-hmm. check that one out. Because it'll be probably scare the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Or at least make you... Because everyone hates teeth falling out.
Oh, yeah.
And... weird other
well and all of the ways, like, you see people commit suicide in horror movies a lot, but I would say that the way that they did that in this film was really well done, because even it was not gratuitous, mm-hmm. but it was enormously upsetting the ways that people killed themselves.
Yeah.
Even just the cops who just shot themselves, that's, you know, it's not like it's super creative or unusual, but that very brief scene where it was, like you said, like a security camera footage of the two police officers in the station killing themselves with their service pistols, and then the social worker killing herself with that like heated glass blowing like crazy thing, like it was
such a weird scene because it was a community event, it seemed.
Yeah,
like.
They're like all these people there seeing like a presentation, like a demonstration about glass blowing, and she just is walking behind in the back of the footage and just fucking
kind of in a daze.
Yeah,
it was pretty crazy.
So yeah, those elements were done in a really frightening way. So
yeah, well, I think it was because it was happened with not much like, oh, this has happened.
Not much fanfare, not much
and
build
you're
up.
Like, what the heck?
Wait, what? Oh my, like, back that up. Did I just see that?
Yeah. And it just happened so quickly. And if you look, turn away for 10 seconds, you wouldn't even catch it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was awful. But yeah, definitely added to the suspense and scariness of, here's cops. Maybe they can help. Nope.
They cannot help you. They won't be helping anybody.
They're just
They're super dead.
Cursed.
Super dead.
Cursed.
And they got the immediate version of the curse.
Yeah.
Some of us, like Dodo, like, gets the slow burn version of the curse, and Ronan gets the I'm not cursed at all. Everyone around me is really in really bad shape.
Yeah. But in the end, I forgot to mention that it showed a little bit of footage of Dodo talking, and I think in the end she's fine.
Yeah.
So
Ronan did to save her.
Yeah, whatever her mother did, it saved her life.
Yeah, she dispersed the curse enough.
Yes.
So that it was sufficiently diluted.
Right.
Yeah. And Dodo was able to have a normal life.
Yeah. Well, so I'm glad you enjoyed the film. I think it was. Yeah, it's a good
recommendation.
Yeah,
you know, especially for people like us, when you've seen so many horror movies. Like, maybe not every horror movie, but there's not a lot out there that you haven't seen, and the few that you haven't seen are probably not that different from the hundreds you have seen. So this is a good recommendation for, like, somebody who watches a lot of horror movies to give you something that's a little bit different,
pretty unique.
Also. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It was pretty unusual.
Yeah, for sure.
And like I mentioned, with you know, that we talked about, the actress that played Dodo was just the most beautiful little cherub faced little girl.
She's so cute.
And she at no point was a frightening character. She was a victim
She's
of everything that was
sick.
Happening. Yeah, she and getting like very a sick. Reagan. No. And so I thought that could be a good way to introduce the movie that we're doing next time, which is the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you do when the child is the devil?
It's straight from the devil.
Straight from the devil's loins.
So the next episode, we'll be talking about The Omen from 1976 in anticipation of watching the prequel, which is coming out in just a couple weeks.
Yeah,
so I'm excited to watch it. I loved the remake.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to talk about it. And Gregory Peck, I mean, who can go wrong?
Classic. Yeah.
With Atticus Finch playing the father of the little horn, the devil.
Yeah, the original Omen, I absolutely love. It's one of those horror movies. It's like Rosemary's Baby, where it's actually a film.
Yeah.
You know, and not just because the performers in it are high caliber performers, but it wasn't constructed to be like, oh, let's scare people.
It's definitely not campy.
No.
At all. It's very
serious. It is very deliberate. It is very, and I wouldn't call it like slow paced. It is a pretty old movie. And so it doesn't have, you know, it's not jump scares. It's not, you know, obviously there's no special effects or anything, but it's really masterfully done. And so I feel like it's one that kind of rises above the genre a tiny bit, like Rosemary's Baby, to just be a worthy film, aside from what genre it falls into.
Yes, yes. And do you randomly quote it? Because sometimes I go, it's all for you! It's all for you, Damien!
And then, of course, there were the handful of sequels. Omen 2 is when, you know, Damien was a slightly older boy. The third one was when Sam Neill played adult Damien. I think that was the third one.
The whole, premise was to get, you know, power and influence.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves because this will be that. But my point was that there are three initial sequels. And then there is the remake that Liev Schreiber and Julia Stiles made that I thought was very frightening. Mm-hmm. And then we can talk about a couple of other, you know, things that are out there, like Little Evil. Like there's some other fun representations of that general story that have been made over the years, because, you know, 1976 was almost 50 years ago. This movie is really old now.
It's older than me.
Yeah, by a lot. But yeah, so we'll focus on the original, but we'll definitely have a lot to talk about in terms of, like, kind of just the whole canon of the concept.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
We can talk about it. Oh, and I forgot Parent Corner. Boop. I don't know. I don't know if Charlotte would even like this movie, Incarnation.
I don't know if Grace has really watched any foreign horror that I'm aware of. Like, we've watched Australian ones, like Babadook and Succession.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah. That's a good one. Good one.
Run, Rabbit, Run.
That yes, one? Yes, that's what it was.
That was fun.
But I mean, how foreign is it? What's in, when it's in English? Yeah. So I don't know if she would find this interesting. She and I haven't really done a lot, even the remakes of Japanese horror. Like she's seen The Ring. But I don't know that we really watched that many other remakes of Japanese horror.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that would be her taste.
I think that Charlotte would see the teeth coming out and be like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like,
bye. I'm going to go watch Scream again.
Oh, that's disgusting. Goodbye. Good day. Seeing hair and weird bits flying. She'd be like, I'm fine.
People smashing their faces into walls.
Oh, she'd be like, ugh, it's disgusting.
No, thank you.
She doesn't like visceral kind of gross.
Yeah. Stuff, not so. Gory.
She's definitely no. She's a sweet baby angel. She gets too grossed out.
Oh yeah, no. Never.
All right, well, this is a good discussion. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.